welcome to the Acupuncture Outsider podcast. My name is Richard Hazel, and in the time it takes for you to commute to or from work, I hope to have shared something of interest about orthopedic acupuncture using motor points, trigger points, myofascial slings, neurofunctional acupuncture, segmental treatments, anything that crosses my mind that seems to be of interest. I hope you'll enjoy it. Hello and welcome to the Acupuncture Outsider. This is Richard Hazel. And before I get started, I just want to get some announcements out of the way. Today is April 13. On April 14, I have my Zoom meeting for the Acupuncture Outsider membership people. It's the mentorship membership. So we do a Zoom meeting. I do two per month. I do every second Sunday and every fourth Monday, because the Monday evening is morning on Tuesday morning in Australia. So if you're interested, check out on Podia, go to the acupuncture. You can just sign up with a free membership by just registering for one of the free courses, and then you can just go, once you have a profile, you can switch to the Acupuncture Outsider. It's $30 US a month, which there's no commitment. You can come in and leave whatever you want. And then if you are a member, then you have access to all of the recordings, all the recorded Zoom meetings, and then you have access to the member message boards for asking questions or searching other people's questions for the answers, things like that. And then you have access to the Core Essentials course on Podia and the manual muscle testing course on Podia. So there's that. And then June 14 through 16 in Amsterdam is the second European Sports and Orthopedic Acupuncture Congress. There's a sign up. I'll put a sign up link on this episode. And what else? Oh, I just received all of the videos from the Sydney course that I just did, and I'm very likely going to sell the whole 4 day for anybody who's interested, but then also break out the fourth day for those of you who already have recordings for things like hip and back and knee, but are interested in sort of the sciatica, pseudo-sciatica, glenoid nerves, stuff like that, and then the migraine protocol. So I'm really very happy with my migraine protocol and the results that I'm seeing. I'm still getting excellent results for people who are coming in with almost daily migraines and going from like 5 or 6 headaches a week down to either 0, or maybe they start out at 1 a week and then it goes down from there. So I'm very happy with this protocol. My patients are very happy with this protocol. What else? I guess that's it. I noticed on the Podia platform, I can see what countries people are listening from. And for the very first time since I started this podcast, I got some listeners, or one listener from France. So very excited about that. I don't know if it was a fluke or if that person will listen again, but very happy to have listeners from France. I think most of you guys don't know I even exist or what I'm teaching or the style of acupuncture. So I'm hoping that will eventually break through in France, and there will be some sort of interest in a more orthopedic Western approach for acupuncture. Okay, so I wanted to talk about a patient that I saw yesterday, I think. And she is a regular, well, not regular. Like I don't see her very often. I see her maybe every few months for like a tune-up. But I used to see her more regularly when she was in a lot of knee pain after a knee surgery, knee replacement surgery. She came to me as a referral from a physical therapist, and she had been in really bad knee pain for over a year after her knee surgery. So I was treating her for that. And then once her knee was feeling better, I treated for her neck. And then I'll see her every once in a while for like a neck flare up or something. But this was different. She said, I don't know what's going on with me. She started doing Pilates recently and feels like that's a good thing. And I agree with her. I think it is a good thing. But she's suddenly having like bilateral SI joint pain and groin pain. And like on one side, she feels like the pain goes down the whole inner part of the leg. So my intuition was that it was the psoas is tight, causing the deep rotators in the back, like the piriformis, to tighten, causing the SI joint pain, and then the random sort of inner thigh pain is the adductors, especially adductor longus, that are trying to work as hip flexors because the psoas is so tight and weak. And so I tested her psoas and it was very weak on both sides. And I saw her compensate with her adductors for that test. And then when she was face down, I palpated SI joint and that was painful. But then I moved further out to the piriformis and that was painful. So I felt pretty confident in my diagnosis. And she doesn't love needles. She's pretty sensitive. So I tried to keep it really conservative. So I just, for her face down 10 minutes, I did gluteus medius motor point and the motor point of the piriformis on both sides. And then I took those out and then that pain was gone. And then I had her turn over and I released her psoas on each side, the one under the inguinal ligament, that motor point that I teach. And then I was able to palpate the adductor longus and she agreed that was sore, treated adductor longus on both sides. And then she was good. Then her pain was gone and she could walk better and she felt very good and no more SI joint pain. So we talked about it and I just said, you know, I think it's good if you're doing Pilates, but it's possible that your core is just not strong right now and that your psoas was doing more work to try to stabilize you than your abs could. And she agreed that her abs are terrible. They're not very strong. So I said, so I think it's good for you to do the Pilates, but in the interim, you know, now that you're doing a new activity that's using muscles that maybe haven't been strengthened in a while, then you may have these little flare-ups and, you know, so just come see me and we get through this phase to where you're strong enough that this isn't happening. You're not using compensation to make up for the weak muscles. But I told her, you know, some basic psoas stretching that I like. One of them standing with your hands on your hips and then sort of just looking up at the ceiling and breathing. And then another one is like on the base of the stairs, you put the, if you were to stretch the right psoas, then you put your left foot two steps up and you hold the rail and you just kind of keep your body upright and lean forward a bit and breathe just to stretch the whole front of that hip. That stretches the psoas and the hip flexors. And it can be very gentle and very minimal, you know, lunge forward. And so hopefully that'll be good for her going forward and she won't have this happen again. But I wanted to share that. I really think the psoas is to blame for so many issues, dysfunction that can cause low back pain, hip pain, sciatica, and quad problems and knee problems. You'll see on people with knee pain that if the rectus femoris has gotten really tight and it's causing knee pain, then it's very likely compensating because the psoas is weak. And so, you know, they're using the hip flexor part of the rectus femoris more, and it's shortening, tightening, and then causing knee pain, especially like patellar sort of knee pain, not the lateral or medial usually when it's the rectus femoris. So the psoas can be blamed for many, many things, and we don't always see an anterior pelvic tilt, but the symptoms are the things I'm telling you. You're going to see the deep rotators getting tighter, the lumbar area, the lumbar lordosis is increased, and you might even be able to make an argument that the psoas puts enough anterior pelvic tilt on the pelvis that you would see increased lumbar lordosis, increasing strain on the L5, S1. So even if sciatica is discogenic origin, it could still be of like originating at the psoas, putting enough tilt on the pelvis that you're increasing pressure on the disc and the nerve. So even for discogenic sciatica, I would say you should consider things like the psoas, still be treating the deep rotators and all those things that get irritated by the sciatica. So, you know, I'm just putting it out there. Like sometimes the discogenic issue is a bone fragment or something that, you know, physically needs to be removed. But what if, you know, many times that L5 S1 compression is being exacerbated by an anterior pelvic tilt, primarily psoas? I would say think about the psoas all the time. I worked on a college athlete last week. He came with his athletic trainer, primarily knee pain, left knee pain. But when I tested his hip external and internal rotation, his internal rotation was significantly reduced on both sides. So we couldn't even get to like 45 degrees of hip internal rotation. And I tested his psoas. We could tell that his quads were getting tight and overused because his psoas was weak. So I treated both sides, his psoas. And then before doing anything like working on, you know, the deep rotators or the piriformis or anything, I just retested his hip internal rotation. It was significantly improved to 45 degrees or maybe a little bit better than that. So it shows how much the psoas, which attaches to the lesser trochanter or the femur, can really inhibit hip internal rotation. So, you know, the symptoms I just mentioned before, the lumbar lordosis, anterior pelvic tilt, those are more obvious ones from a psoas issue. But the fact that it's attached to the inside of the femur and it's tight puts the hip into more of an externally rotated position and inhibits internal rotation of the hip. So psoas is just hugely important for so many things. It should not be forgotten. It should be really considered for so many things from the rib cage down, because it is a core stabilizer as well. Okay, I think I covered everything. I hope I did. So I'll be getting things up on Podia soon. I like to index the videos so that they're for quick reference. They're done in very good high definition and with a microphone on my shirt. So the sound is very good. The video is very good. The demo is done from a close-up handheld camera. And it so far, I've only looked at day four. I haven't looked at the rest yet, but it's looking really good. Okay, so that's it. And have a great week. I will talk to you soon.